This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
There are times in our lives where we have to put on, or we have to act like it, you know. And I know there's a phrase that I don't like, is fake it till you make it. I don't like that phrase at all, but I do believe we have to put on attitudes, and we have to put on perspectives, and we have to put on insight, and we may sometimes even put on toughness and perseverance and even motivation and inspiration, that we put those things on. And you know, the Bible talks about putting on the new man, that we take off the old man that's corrupt in all its ways and put on the new man. You know, that it doesn't feel like this, it's a fit. It doesn't feel natural to us, because it's not. See, the life that we have as believers in Jesus, this life is a supernatural life. It's not a natural life. So it's not natural to us. It's not what we're used to. It's not like those old pair of boots or those old pair of jeans that we put them on and we're ready to go. And it's not like that at all. It's that this is newness, and everything has to become new in our lives, that we put on the new and we take off the old. But you know what? That's every day. Every day we have the concept of our lives is that we put off the old, that we put on the new. Man, that we make sure that we put on God's righteousness, that we put on love, that we put on the whole armor of God. And putting on the whole armor of God, man, it covers everything that we deal with in life. It's the helmet of salvation. You think about salvation being a helmet for our minds, and a helmet for how we think. The breastplate of righteousness that protects our hearts, that we could guard our hearts. So we've got a helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, that our loins are girded with the truth. That the truth becomes the staple of our lives. It's how we digest things in our lives. It's that staple, that our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That we've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Man, that we've got the And above all, here's what Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And see, now we have to put that on. We have to make sure that in our lives and in our walks, that we're not just kind of skipped a maloo in this thing. We're not just flippantly just lollygagging through it. No, you know what? We're really intentionally and personalizing this. That we intentionally put on the whole armor of God. That we intentionally, why? Because, man, the enemy's gonna, the fiery darts of the enemy are just gonna, it gets abusive in our lives, the attack of the enemy and what the enemy tries to do with the things that are happening around our lives. You know, that we have to keep this concept. And this is where the true power of us being believers are. The concept of that we're in this world, we're just not of it. We're in it, but we're not of it. See, the world can get religious. We're not of that. Man, the world can be cynical. We're not of that. Man, the world can be negative. The world can be depressing. We are not of that. Man, we just so happen to be in it, but it's not guilt by association anymore. You know, the things that used to get to us, the things that used to bother us, the things that get to and bother other people don't us anymore. Man, the offense that we could suffer in our lives used to be we'd hang on to that thing and we'd bear it as a badge. Man, now we let it go as quickly as we can. Man, it becomes reflexive to let go of offense. Man, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them, Father. They don't know how that messes with my heart. See, that we take on that kind of posture, which is the posture of Jesus, that new man. See, it's not just something that has no model. The new man that we put on is truly the model of Jesus that we take on in our lives. You know, I want to welcome everybody that's watching online. I want to welcome everybody that's watching in Skytook. A growing, thriving church in Skytook, Oklahoma, that's called Guts. You know, it's funny. I was with Kennedy just last week. She turned 19, and we're just talking about the church. Every 8 or 10 minutes that we're talking about things, man, we'd swerve back around, and she'd wanna talk about things that are happening at church. She's away at college right now, and I said, it's kind of funny that we're talking about a church that means so much to us that's called Guts. Isn't that strange, Kennedy? She goes, yeah, it is, but I love it. And when she said that, I just thought, I do too. Man, I love everything about it. You know, I want to fulfill God's purpose in my life, man, with people that are just sold out for the kingdom. People that are sold out to help hurting people, just to honor God in their lives. But in order for us to do that, we have to put this new life on. We have to put on this new attitude. We have to, and it may not necessarily be a look. I believe it does become what's happening on the inside of us. It does show what's happening on the outside of us. It proves out on the outside of us, the fruit of our lives. But I think that we have to look at and understand what we're putting into our lives, because that's what it is. It's not some fraudulent thing that we're putting on this, like putting on a coat and acting like Christians. That we're putting on a new suit of clothes and that makes us believers. No, that what we put on is we put it on in our hearts. That we put it on in our minds. But then we think about what God does is he arms us. He gives us his armor to be able to put that on. Are you guys ready to get in the Word a little bit? Man, I just want to get in the Word a little bit today. I'm appreciative of everything that's going on here, from Friday groceries through the Hispanic church, our Skytook campus, and I believe there's much more to come. I believe that 2015 is an incredible year of growth that's ahead of us, a year of expansion, and I believe that it's messages like this, and it's also the series that we came from in October regarding defeating fear, but really what we're going to talk about in Thanksgiving, we're going to talk about in November is we're just going to talk about how powerful Thanksgiving is, how powerful that attitude is. It's not just a day in the year that we're thankful. It's like we're thankful people. And what happens? Man, you make more money when you're thankful. Do you know that? Man, your life is better when you're thankful. You're healthier when you're thankful. Well, you know what I say? We become more thankful. Well, I say that we take responsibility and take the initiative. In Philippians, the second chapter, Philippians 2, I'm going to give you a second to get there. If you brought a Bible, if you got your smartphone, I'm going to be in the New King James Version. I like it when I'm studying. I have a Dakes Bible that just has incredible information in it. I love to read and study the Amplified. Man, it brings things out from the original text that makes the translation from Hebrew or Greek to English. Man, it brings it into a great perspective. But Philippians 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. See, in the margin of your Bible, what I've written in the margin of my Bible is take responsibility and initiative. And that's the key. I believe that if you're not growing in your life, if things aren't moving and progressing in your life, I think a lot of times if we just become managers of our life and we try to balance our life and we just try to keep everything on an even keel in our life, we could think of our life as a process. I don't like to think of my life as a process. I want to think of my life as progress. The progression of my life. And no matter where you are, what you have to do is you have to constantly be taking, responsibility and initiative. Man, those two things make us better Christians. Those two things make us better husbands and fathers and really honestly citizens. For it's God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Think about it, he works in you to will, to want to. And he's working in you right now that where this isn't a drudgery anymore. See, church and reading the word and church studying the word and giving ourselves over to the victory that Jesus won, man, that it becomes so much less a drudgery. Forgiving people becomes so much less a drudgery. Man, so much less toil. Why? Because I want to now. Man, it's a Father's good pleasure. It's God who works in you to want to. Man, God's working in me right now to want to live for him, but also to do. And what do? For his good pleasure. Man, that he's working in me to want to and to do. Verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Now, do all things without complaining and disputing, not having to get your way, not griping at every turn. Man, what if, What if you could, that shield of faith really helped you deflect all the things that you want to complain about, all the things that you want to gripe about? What if your complaining just revealed a weakness of faith that's operative in your life? Man, what if you held your tongue? What if you did all things? What if you were married? What if you looked at your life and you could listen, and you have to build on this where you take responsibility, you take initiative, you don't complain or dispute. You don't have to get your way. You're not fighting to be right all the time. I'll tell you, as great a marriage that Sandy and I have, if there's one thing I think that both of us kind of fall prey to, it's that we're right, that we have to be right. It's important. And you know, it's interesting. I see it in Sandy so much more than I see it in myself. And I'm sure you do too. But doggone it, she just has to be right. And you know what? And you know what she'll say? Well, I usually am. Well, it's like, yeah, no duh, me too, honey. But see, we have to look at what the Word says about us when we have to be right. The Bible says a fool's right in his own eyes. Man, this isn't about us being right anymore. Man, it's not about us being ahead of the game anymore. No, you know what? Man, this is about us, man, living our lives, allowing the whole armor of God to overcome all the wiles of the evil one and not have to be right all the time, that I want to serve God, I want to serve people, I want other people to be better because I'm around. I mean, that's what life's really about. What if you were born, you lived, and you died, and no one was any better? I'm telling you why people miss people. Man, there's people that go to be with the Lord, and we mourn, and there's a suffering in that, and it hurts us. You know why? They made us better. Man, I think about people that I still miss that have passed on and have gone to be with the Lord, and I miss those people because they made me better. People that didn't make me better, I didn't miss them very much. See, that's what we're living our lives for here. Kind of the moniker of the church is to help people win. Man, let's just help people get better. Man, little by little, inch by inch, step by step, let's help people get better. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. In a crooked and perverse generation, God's will for you is to want to do His will, to want His will in your life, and you know what? And to shine. Amongst the crooked and perverse generation. You know, it's amazing because so much of our Christian walk, so much of our life in Christ, so much of our church life is that we try to separate ourselves from any kind of worldliness, any kind of, but you know what? There's people attached to that God's called us to reach. You know, it's interesting because Sandy mentioned a person we were talking and Sandy had a meeting with somebody, and somebody asked how the meeting went. And in the middle of kind of reporting on that meeting, Sandy said, well, but you know, she's on my account. And you know, I've said that a few times. There's people in town here. There's people in my life that aren't a part of this church, okay? And this is what I give my life to, is this church. I'm a church man, okay? I love the church. But there's people that aren't in this church that are still on my account. So you know what I've got to do? I've got to go out of my way. I've got to get out of my routine. I've got to get out of my favorite track in life. And I've got to go find them, and I've got to go check on them. And I've got to check in with them, and I've got to make sure everything's make sure that they know that I'm there in their life. If they need anything that they can call. Why? They're just on my account. And you know, we have to understand that we are in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation. All right? But here's the deal. We have to want to, and we have to do His will. We have to want to do His will, not just because we have to. Man, there's a prize. Do you understand that there's a prize at the end of this whole trip? And listen, it's not a corruptible, it's not a perishable crown. Man, it's an imperishable. See, I don't even think we can fathom the prize that God has for us just at the end of the. At the end of this life, that we serve Him to the fullest. See, it's interesting. It's, man, we look at people that are sold out to business, and people that are sold out to sports, or sold out to fitness, and it's sold out to family, and sold out, and all those things are, man, in and of themselves are probably good to be sold out to. But you know what? People that are truly sold out to Jesus, the Bible says that we shine in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation. And it's we can't look at it through our natural lenses anymore to see the impact that God's called us to make. Verse 16 says, holding fast the word of life. And this is always the key, that we lay hold, that we keep a grip on the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. See that you get it. It's important. You know, it's interesting because it always feels like that, man, you get up here and you feel like you have to be selling all the time. Man, it's got to be selling all the time. We got to be, no, you know what? We're just sold. That's what this is. I mean, you're hearing from people that are just sold. Man, if somebody gets up and they're trying to sell you, it's probably not going to work up here. But I'm telling you that we're sold out, that we're sold to this cause, and we're sold to this mission. Man, that's how we have to look at our lives, and that we haven't run in vain. Why? People are getting it. Man, the offering of ministry and the offering of being able to serve, it's not that we need 50 greeters at every service. It's we want everybody involved that we can get involved. Why? Man, just to get in the flow of what God's doing here. Man, if we could get you around people that are holding fast the word of truth, man, it may just become something you'll look at doing in your life. Man, you guys, you know, just hearing from a speaker that says, hey, hold fast the word of truth, it's important if you're sitting by people that are. If once in a while you break bread or you eat or you fellowship with people who are. See, that's how we have to look at this. But you know what? Our life gets too busy for this. Because we're looking for immediate gratification, immediate results, immediate. And let me tell you, man, we miss the power of God because we're looking for immediacy. We're looking for that. We're looking for that there's an urgency on the inside of us now in the age that we live in, man, for there to be that immediate feel good in our lives. And you know what? So much of this that we live, we just have to walk it out. We have to bear it. And see, and the Bible talks about us bearing this in love, one another in love, that we bear it. You know, if I think about the years of ministry in this church, I just appreciate Sandy so much. She's just had to bear. I just watch it, how much she's had to bear through these years. And see, and that's what a lot of this life is. And our flesh is like, I don't know, man, it's not worth it. Man, I think about people like the Huntsingers. Man, Curtis, who people in Skytook appreciate right now, teaches every Wednesday night in Skytook now and has for a few months. Man, I think about Jaime and just serving our kids and how incredible he is in front of kids in kids' church. And I think about this, and man, there isn't a whole lot of glory in it. There isn't a whole lot of accolades in it. Man, when they first came around, Curtis was a teenager when he first came around the church. Man, he's just coming around. Man, if you look at it at face value, it's like, you know what? There's probably bigger fish to fry than him. There's probably more affluent people that we could go reach. Man, we should market to maybe some people that could write a check and help us do what we're doing. But no, you know what? Man, he just kept coming around. And, you know, you bear up with that. But then the next thing you know, man, it's just incredible fruit happening. Ministry in people's lives. And it comes from us bearing one another in love and together with one another. Man, and being there in the long haul. You know why? That's family. Man, where one person goes through something, there is not a chance that we should be able to fashion this church that anybody could go through anything alone. And I'd venture to say, if you're going through anything alone, it's because that's by choice and you're fighting to keep the isolation. Man, I think it's virtually impossible for anybody in this band to go through anything alone. Man, but the whole idea is you have to be greeting, you have to be singing, you have to be parking, you have to be doing something with somebody. And you know what? That creates that relationship where it's not just religious act or religious duty. In Colossians, the third chapter, Paul writes about us, man, being quick to forgive and forbearing one another, and just what I've been talking about here in verse 14, he says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And see, and that right there, if we would just focus on this verse right here, which is kind of just kind of a flyover verse in this message. If we just focus on this verse, man, there's so much power, there's so much liberty that's right here, that resides right here in this simple statement. Just put on love. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The literal translation of that is, and act as an umpire. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Man, when I talked, there's very, very few times I want to say that we're never going to give you directional counsel or directional advice in your life. Most of the time it's just, look, here's what the word says. But the directional part of it, we want you to hear from God. But the few times that it may be directional, is it's simply this. Do you have a peace about it? Have you found your peace regarding that? Man, it's a peace. Man, it's a great opportunity. Man, but I'm not settled about this one little issue. Okay, listen, that unsettling that you have is prohibiting you from being in peace. And you know what? It may not be right then. Man, if you can't find your peace, you just tap the brakes a little bit. Because if you're not in the right place, that doesn't just affect you. That affects you being in the wrong place, not being in the right place, and the person that's supposed to be where you are isn't in the right place now. So it just kind of trickles. See, that's why we have to find our peace. We have to let the peace of God rule and reign in our heart and act as an umpire, to which you were also called in one body. And be thankful, which is leading into the next series. There's so much in the word, just simple thankfulness. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Put what you value in God's word in your heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Man, don't you guys appreciate the music in this church? Man, I'll tell you today, every single song just ministered to me and motivated me and, man, enhanced the way I looked at just life simply. It was amazing. Verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Just some simple bullet points here. Let the peace of God's promises rule in your heart. Write that down. Let the peace of God's promises rule in your heart. You know, there's vernacular that we use here a lot is, okay, what does the word say? What does the word say? Man, you've got impending doom around the corner, and man, how are we going to find that silver lining? Or what? No, what does the word say? We're not looking for a silver lining in anything. What does the word say? We're not living let the world live by silver linings. We're not living by that. Let the peace of God's promises rule in your heart. The second one is, put your core values in God's word. Put your core values in God's promises. Your core values. This is how I think. This is how I register. This is how the progression of my life works. Man, I'm going to allow God's promises dictate. Here's how I look at it. Because I have to make it stronger language to myself, okay? In order for me to really, I've got to get mad at myself. I've got to get emotional about it. I have to let God's promises dictate the core values of my life. Do all of your life under the banner of Jesus. This is all right here in Colossians 3, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Man, do all of your life under the banner of Jesus. And then it's simple. And you know, the way we give thanks is we give thanks by living our lives through him. That's how we do it. Yeah, we can put words to it too. We're just living our life through him. That's how we're thankful. That's how this whole thing works. You know why? Because this is covenant. That's what it is. And it's covenant. In verse 17, it reveals the true power. Whatever you do in word, deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. This is the Dakes Phineas Dix calls it the power of attorney and of God's word in the name of Jesus. It reveals true power of attorney in this covenant. You know, in John 14, 13, Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it because it'll glorify the Father. See, there's a power of attorney that we have, that we have to understand how majestic the name of Jesus, how the name of Jesus cuts through everything on the earth. Man, everything spiritual, everything mental, everything emotional, everything physical. Man, the name of Jesus cuts through all of it. The Bible says that knees bow, that tongues confess. Man, at this name we're saved, at no other name. But at the name of Jesus is that salvation. So now we work this salvation out with fear and trembling. How does that happen? Because we have to put on this new man. We have to put on the garment of praise. We have to put, and for what? For a spirit of heaviness. Man, you start getting, things start getting heavy in your life. Man, what does your response have to be? The garment of praise. Man, you put on the garment of praise. Man, you lift up the name of Jesus. You begin to profess his promise. You begin to seek out and discover God's promise and then devour it with everything in you. See, that's not just the way we get ahead. It's the way we live. And what that does is now the lateral movement in our life is irrelevant, but God elevates every part of our life. You know, I believe if your life elevated in your health, it'll elevate every aspect of your life. But we have to understand the power of attorney that we have in this covenant. And that's really, truly what the covenant is. Because Jesus shed that blood, and there's a blood covenant, man, that covers everything else in our lives. And the one thing you got right in your life is you made Jesus Lord of your life. Now you enter into a blood covenant with the God who's your judge. Do you understand? No one on the earth is your judge. God is your judge. And now you're right with God because of the one thing you did right by making Jesus Lord of your life. And the blood that he spilled, the blood that was poured out, the blood covenant that we enter into with God now makes us sons and daughters and family. And he's given us now the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus, that everything in life is subject to. And we put it on. And you know what? We don't, we come to an understanding where it's not just because we have to or because we should, but we want to now. I want to love God with all my heart now. And I know that it started with I should. I probably should do it. I probably should love God. I probably should want to go to church. Man, you get to a place where one day in his house is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Man, but you know what? Man, we become like the world. People say, man, I just need a break from church. I need a break from God's people. I need a break from, no. That's deception. You know what you have to do? You gotta put on the new man. Man, you gotta put on righteousness, right living. Man, you think about that. What if you began to stack days upon days upon days of just right living and great decisions? What if? Man, what's your life like in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month or 3 months? What's your life like? What's next year like if you just decided you were going to stack great decisions and right living day after day all year long? What happens? Oh, my gosh. I think that things come into effect that we could have only dreamt about. Eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the great things that God has for those who simply put him first. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do in 2015. I'm going to put God first in everything that I do. In all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge him. I'm going to let him be the light unto my path and the lamp unto my feet. Man, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to hear his voice and another voice I'm not going to follow. Man, that's what 2015 carries for me. Man, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get thankful. I'm gonna just be in a mode of thankfulness in my life. Man, the drudgery part of life, I'm not gonna let the devil steal life anymore by me thinking things are a drudgery. I want all of God that I can get. And you know what I want to do? I want to hold fast to the word of truth. Are you with me on that? Man, we just have to want to. And you know what? It starts by making yourself. God, we love you and we praise you. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you're about in this place. God, just the opportunity to break the bread of life. God, I thank you. Just the opportunity for us to spend time, a little bit of time in your word together, God, is precious to us. God, thank you so much. God, thank you so much for the life that you give us, that you restore that life back, God. Whatever the enemy's taken, God, I thank you that it has to be returned to us multiple fold. God, that your hand's on our lives. God, I thank you for your healing power, for salvation that's on all of our lips. Say this with me, will you? Father God, I thank you for this life. So great a salvation. God, I appreciate so much the opportunity to be new in you, to be new every single day. Your mercies and my thankfulness are new every morning, God. And God, I thank you now for life without end through your son, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.